episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Testing, testing, testing. Be told. Be told. Be told. Be told, be told.
Be told, episode number 38, 38 special. September the 17th? Eight? And it can't be. It's the 17th. Can you believe this is September's finished? September is gone. Is it a song? Should be. Something gone. July's gone. Good song out there, but thought I'd pop in here and because I thought I'd have a drink because I've been doing my abstinence. Abstinence makes the heart grow fonder of beer. And I've been listening to this. No, so it's baffling Charlie Kirk stuff. So you're listening. This is, again, episode number 38 on the 17th of September 2025, be told 38. Charlie Kirk. I saw the footage. Looked pretty good. Pretty spectacular shot, you know. If it was a real high powered rifle, surely it would have, he says, shutting it all, blown him backwards, depending on the weapon, the ammo, I suppose. I mean, I saw four different angles. Looked pretty good. Is it real or not? You know, the disappearing finger. I mean, I'm not analysing it, but again, it doesn't have to be real or fake because the real-time stuff's going on. You know, they're utilising this, you know, if it's, again, real or fake, doesn't make any difference because it will have a huge effect. But, you know, if you want to find out about fakeology, guess where you go? No, you don't go to fakeologist.com. You can, but you can just go to Facebook now. Facebook, and there's a guy called Tony Sayers. I don't know who he is. It's, you know, Tony Sayers. I think that's him. He has some terrific stuff, a lot of comments. You know, everyone's saying it's all fake, stage, disappearing ring, CGI, AI, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Unbelievable. Back in the day, you would have to, any way you'd find out if something was real or fake, you'd have to go onto some weirdo site, Hoaxbusters call, and fakeology.com to get your, you know, all those experts from the day, back in the old days, you know, talking about 10, 12 years ago here. Those, Tom Delpra, John Adams, et cetera, et cetera. All those guys are all there on the early days of Fakeologist and Hoaxbusters call. It's terrific. You know, you had the science guys like SMJ doing the science stuff, arguing with everybody, et cetera, et cetera. But now you just go to Facebook. Go onto Facebook and just put conspiracy sites and you'll find as much fakeology as you will online. So what's going on? Who do you argue with? What's right? What's wrong? All I know is the agenda is going. The agenda is going. The main big one over here is sovereign citizen. These sovereign citizens. Now, I've been advising people to listen to the, what was it, the Gary Jubelin? Jubelin. There's a there. That's why this is this ex-cop who does a show called, I Catch Killers. And I really enjoyed it. I binge listened to it. But there he his latest show, what's it about? Sovereign citizens, crazy conspiracy theorists. And, you know, and so what they've done, they've got this story about this poor bloke who's had the misfortune of getting involved with a woman who I've got the funniest feeling is someone that I used to work with or for. Same name and everything, probably the same age, and was in the film industry. And this woman's become a sovereign citizen, and it's all the harrowing problems that this guy's faced because she's trying to get her kids back. Now, any mother, doesn't matter whether they're sovereign this, sovereign that, or whatever, wants their children around them. And the bloke's always going to be the issue. But this one didn't do it the right way. She actually, you know, I just said, to me, without any detective skills, I just said this woman's got borderline personality disorder, BPD. How do I know that? It's because I know the symptoms of it, and I've looked it up, and I've spoken to many other guys that have had the misfortune of dealing with someone that fits that description. As someone said, why do they call it borderline? It should be called personality disorder. That's it. You know, these are people that no matter what you do, they're miserable all the time. No matter how you try and please them, they'll always find a way of saying that I'm miserable about that. And they don't care how many people are upset about it. Now, this woman, Helen, her name is, she is the one on that video that went viral where the cop snaps the window, breaks it open. She claims to be a sovereign citizen. Now, they're using the exact correct techniques that you do. You're not dealing with, you're not doing professional transport. You're not a business, blah, blah, blah. You don't identify with corporate, this and that. All the stuff that you get off all those fantastic sites. And you did during COVID. Now, the reason why they're going about sovereign citizens is they're tying it in with anti-vaxxers. Yes, they are. And anti-vaxxers. Even though majority of the people out there, there's so many people that have woken up. So these mainstream media types like Jubilant now, he is mainstream media. He's, instead of focusing on this woman and their sad relationship breakup, he's turned it because she unfortunately joined up Sovereign Citizen Movement and called herself, there was a group called NPD or NVD or whatever they call themselves, some acronym, and apparently she identifies now as a Aboriginal. And this whole group, and they've got some really good stuff, I'm sure. But watch out for any group that comes out and offers you a solution, and to join up, and that we're going to do this and we're going to do that, because most of the time they're run by the intelligence agencies, and I'd say this one is for sure. And there's Jubilant, yeah. Oh, these sovereign citizens, they just shot all those people. Now, I don't know whether they shot that guy. What's his name? He's on the run. He's changed his name to Freeman, which is another way they do it, by removing your surname and saying that you're a free man. And that's what this guy's doing. He's on the run at the moment, and he shot allegedly two cops, one with a really strange name, like not a local of any form. And another older one, I can't imagine an older Aussie bloke, whatever, going and doing a disappearing act, was someone really shot? I've got no idea. But there, if you push people enough, people, you're listening to Be Told.
No matter what your age, you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliate.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Told with Rick on the wonderful September the 17th, 2025. This is episode number 38. Back to Rick. Here we go.
Thank you very much. I don't know how you got in here. I don't know how this funny little man got in here, but there he is in his little suit sitting there behind a microphone with a clock behind him. It's like in the old ABC continuity advisors. Now, today, this is how easy your life can become a disaster. I I or a friend of mine was possibly having a cigarette, rolly, threw it in a pile of, I've got at the back, just to make me feel guilty, I might have a pile in an old jar, not a jar, a plastic container, on a cactus growing thing, just to show, you know, this is what you're doing, this is what you're doing, like having a, you're having to empty your bins full of beer. You need to see how much you're drinking, and that's why I stopped drinking during the week, except for tonight. I've decided to have a few beers tonight. Anyway, I threw a button there when started measuring my lawn to make sure there was no oversized blades, and was then I started mowing half it because I thought I don't want to come back and it's raining and I have to look out the window to see an uneven lawn. It's completely normal. I don't know what anyone would suggest that this is OCD. It's completely normal as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, my son came down about a few minutes later and he's gone, he's holding a cup. He goes, Dad, there was a fire. And I went, what do you mean? And I thought, he goes, that pile caught on fire. And I went, nah, I just thought he meant it was smoking. So I went up there and the whole thing had caught fire and dripped all over the place. It had been a major issue. If he hadn't been there and done that, there could have been a major issue here. I would have had to burn my house down. There's a song in that, Burning Down the House, and someone should write one, Burning Down the House. Good lyric. Unbelievable. So whether the heat had dried them out, but I've never heard of that happening, throwing a stub into a pile of old butts and it catches on fire. This did. Has an intelligence agency planted a incendiary device in my ashtray? No, I don't think so. But that's just how bad things can go if you don't have fire intelligence. You should never leave a pile of butts like I did. This is ridiculous. Anyway, back to the sovereign citizens. Now, the sovereign citizen movement is being used right now after these cops got shot. Apparently another couple got shot a while back. So it's in Victoria. Now, I just come back from Victoria on Monday. I love Melbourne. I think Melbourne is beautiful. I can see why all those people. I can't see why. I can see why they've left because it's full of lefties, and people are too much into sport there, and that's the problem. That's why there's so many people that are blasé and can't see what's going on. And they're obsessed with it. It's sport is obsessed. They're, you know, AFL and cricket. The AFL's, is it the most boring? It's second most boring game after cricket. Yes. Oh, sorry. No interest in it whatsoever. Very athletic, but it's not like, I like watching rugby league because it's much more violent and you get a lot more money's worth out of it. But not AFL. Not AFL, but it's the religion there in Victoria. Now, I also spotted another, you know, I saw the last time I was there, I saw a statue, which I said straight out, it's Lucifer, not the goddess of luck, that they've been told, that the poor, baffled people of Melbourne have been told that they've been given this beautiful statue of a goddess of luck, and it's actually straight out Lucifer to anyone else that walks, like myself, that walks down and sees it. As you're leaving, walking out of the airport arrival, or the domestic, there's a huge statue of Icarus. Now, why would you stick a statue of a guy that fell out of the, you know, flew too close to the sun and crashed into the earth and died outside an airport? Why would they do that? I would have said, I want a statue of an eagle or a statue of a famous aviator that didn't crash, not Amelia Earhart, someone that didn't crash. Anything other than Icarus. Anything other than Icarus. But no, there's Icarus who flew too close to the sun and his wax wings melted and he, you know, crashed to the earth. That is the statue as you walk out of the airport or walk into the domestic terminal in Tullamarine Airport in Victoria. There's an issue I've got with statues in Victoria. There's definitely some inappropriate statues there and they need to have some lessons in what you should be putting as a statue. If it's the goddess of luck, you should have the original logo of whatever her name is with coins all over, not like a male-headed with breasts, blue, green, giant devil with skulls under their arms and their wings. No, that's not a goddess of luck. But that's what they've been told in Victoria and Melbourne. Anyway, I love Melbourne. Melbourne's fantastic. It's got more, I don't know what it is. I went to Brunswick. Secondhand collectible shops, amazing record shops. Sydney Street, it's called, or Sydney Road, Brunswick. Fan-fucking-tastic. My son came with me, and he's into that kind of scene as well. And I had a huge conversation with a guy in the record shop. He was quite bemused that my son came up to me with a David Bowie record, and I took one look, and I said, get that one away from me, please. It's his worst record ever. And he thought it was hilarious, and he said there's some movie about a guy that owns a record shop that has conversations like that. I forget the name of it, a British, written by that same guy that writes all his sitcom, the man about the boy or something or other, or that author. Anyway, this place is absolutely fantastic, and it's new records, but really rare and unusual, fantastic stuff. Really enjoyed it. Great conversation. I forget the name of it. I should plug it. Or maybe he wouldn't want someone plugging it on one of these conspiracy type shows. So last week we had Interloper Rollo came on here. It was all right. It wasn't too bad. If he does it again, I'm going to mute him properly. But I think he's unconscious. I think he was up all last night drinking vodka, as they do, or as he does. But yeah, so now I listened also. Gary, forget the Gary Jubelin show. I said I Catch Killers, definitely setting up. There's definitely a narrative on mainstream media about conspiracy theorists at the moment, and they're coming after YouTube and etc. for Discord, I would say. In December, thanks to Anthony Albanese, Australia, we love you. A guy who can't even say the word Australia. Somehow he's the Prime Minister. And he just does what he's told by the Fabians that run the thing, run everything. Yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. In Australia, they do. The Fabian socialists. So blah, 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 blah. What was I going to? Oh, the next thing. I listened to also to William Ramsey. Now, look, honestly, that guy has some really good shows, but then his 9/11 show that he had with this guy who claims to be a digital photographer expert, what did they bring up? Judy Wood and this hurricane business. Apparently there was a hurricane out at sea. What possibly, and your wildest description of improbability, would the fact there was a hurricane out at sea or a tornado or whatever have to do with two buildings collapsing? Sorry. I think 7 buildings collapsed, or was it 9? Probably 9. But apparently building 6 is the one that you should be looking at, not building 7. Why is that so? I've no idea. I haven't checked into building 6. But if it's built in a number 6, bang, there'd be something interesting about it. Anyway, this guy is absolutely saying that Simon Schack and all the people saying there was no planes were disinfo. That it was a hologram that they used. It was actually a hologram and da 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 da. And there's William Ramsey eating the whole thing up, thinking it's fantastic. And they're both blowing smoke up each other for their documentaries they've each done. Now, Ramsey knows it was a ritual, which it was, and this other guy acknowledges that. But what he keeps doing is bringing up these technologies, a Tesla thing that makes buildings collapse. Now, interestingly, as usual, I remember my uncle coming back from America in 1976 or 70, something of that nature. And he bought these amazing toys back for my cousins, really amazing toys. And one of them were two buildings, not two buildings, maybe it was one building. You'd build it and you'd set it up and then you press the button and it's magnetic. It was a magnetic thing and the building collapses due to magnetics. It was a toy for kids, this collapsible building using magnets, because I guess using the polarities, you know, you reverse one way and you turn it the other way and the parts collapse because of that. Now, maybe there is a there, because this was a toy that I remember him bringing back. You could only get it in America. It is, because the building was an exoskeleton. Was there some kind of, or was it just a run-of-the-mill demolition, which I tend to think it is. But there could have been some kind of polarity thing set up to make it collapse like that. I don't know. But I do remember a toy that you build the building and you can press a button, the whole thing just collapsed because it reversed the polarity of the metal in the building and it changed, you know, when you put two magnets together, they bounce off each other. Is there a there? Now, Judy Wood, I've never really been into, but, you know, this hurricane out at sea, what on earth could, you know, how could a hurricane, even if it came through, you know, did you see any evidence of the wind blowing, you know, sideways and everyone holding on, their umbrellas blowing inside out? No, you didn't. Now, I don't know why they keep bringing this hurricane thing. How could the hurricane have not got two giant buildings down? But it's a hurricane and something else that they use. Now, sorry, I think this is real proper disinformation of the highest order. But this guy, I think it came out on the 1st of September. I think it came out last year originally. It's on William Ramsey's shows. I was going through them last night. And that one came on. I was listening to it and I thought, is this going to be good? And then I went, oh dear. The name Judy Wood came up. The opposite of Simon Shack, Judy Wood. If there's two opposites, you got the Simon Shack. And now Simon Shack's first, you know, to be honest, the first three, I've never even sat and watched the whole things, because one of them had missiles, et cetera. There's the other guy. They bring them all up on this thing. It's worth listening to if you want to get, you know, see what other people are listening to and what they're believing, because there is definitely a right now all these truthers are all fighting with each other, and some of them are like Jan Ervin, for goodness sake. He was one of my favourite, very aggressive, always arguing, but he was really good. And he posted on Facebook on 9/11 a huge big thing, and I had to edit it like by a huge amount so I could actually share it onto Discord. Johnny's List seen it and, you know, shook his head vigorously, nearly fell off. It was basically saying the whole thing about, you know, the terrorists did this and how many Muslim terrorists have caused problems since 9/11 and versus how many people have. Like, just it was literally the mainstream media's version of whatever. And this is Jan Ervin that shared it. Now, he says, feeding his cat. I am baffled. Is it the same guy? Is it the same guy? Then, by coincidence, out of the blue, Steve Outram came back and did a YouTube, which is quite good, about crypto, because his show is Crypto Beast. These two have had a huge fight together. They did their best show. Some of the best shows Jan Ervin did was with Steve Outram on Burning Man. Highly recommended. And anything Steve Outram did on there was fantastic. Now, he's turned up. Jan Ervin's turned up again. Mysteriously, Jan posted that his old site that he lost came back last week on whatever day it was. So his site's back. He actually put out a show out of the blue. So he's back. William Ramsey's doing kind of his, you know, saying that this fakeologist stuff's, you know, a bit mad. He's spoken to Ab. I don't know if that was worth it or not. But there you go. So there's a lot of them coming back and this actually being more normie than the normal people. I'm baffled, absolutely baffled. Particularly Jan Ervin, who, I mean, his stuff he did on, one of the best ones was he did the Salem witch thing. He went there with his He got married very quickly to some chick. That marriage flopped. And then he was, you know, saying that she was an agent out to get him, just like Steve Outram was an agent out to get him. Blah, 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 blah. Lots of infighting. And that's the other thing you've got to watch. If you see fighting and people argue all the time, then you watch out. Watch out. If they're not getting on together, even though you can disagree with somebody, you can still get on with each other and you have some mutually interesting things that you get on with. But Jan Ervin's come out and he's posting really, because he's a real anti-Muslim. Now, he says, opening up a old beer from an old brewery. Really, really strange. We're living in very interesting days, but right now the sovereign citizen movement's being attacked sideways, and they link them straight in with anti-vaxxers and conspiracy theorists. And what the gist is, I'm picking up, because he's also, Jubelin also interviewed a New Zealand forensic psychologist. And guess what they started talking about? The danger of these new radicalized internet people that are becoming radical and shooting people. This goes in with the Charlie Kirk thing. Now, it's Charlie Kirk, as I started the show with, I'll go back into, CK. Is it just as simple as that? CK is 311. Then you look at all the other CKs out there, and one of the big ones is Clark Kent to me. Superman, Christine Keeler from the that huge big Profumo affair in England in the 60s, which also had Crowley and Satanism involved. So that was a huge big thing. That was a big CK as well. He had all over the billboards prior to COVID, CK, that's Calvin Klein, the big adverts everywhere, CK, CK, CK. Sorry, whispering my ear.
Where's my shirt?
It's all, everything's in your room. Sorry, it was a washing report, live, a washing report. My son's off to Comic-Con on the weekend. He'll be having a great time. Did I talk about it last week? I probably did. But yeah, no, definitely Melbourne, back to Melbourne. No, no, sorry, Charlie Kirk, the shooting. Was it real? Oh, I've got no idea. But I did like, what's her name, Melissa... Real History with Melissa. She brought up all this stuff and the different conspiracies, but she said, you know, you got to watch out, you know, what's real and what's not, blah, blah, blah. I kind of agree with her. But she's got, as I mentioned last week, unfortunately, I don't think the anti-nuke thing goes well with some of the her guests that she has on there. I could have been saying things that are completely... Why, mate, a lot of people love their nuclear bombs. They will not let them go. They will not let them go. I watched Oppenheimer, or tried to. It was pathetic. He is a weird-looking guy too, that actor. Whatever his name is, that Irish guy. Really uninteresting movie. Extraordinarily uninteresting. It was, again, pushing the whole nuclear thing. Atomic bombs. Blah, 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 blah. I believe that is the last thing you, to have real freedom, though. You cannot, if you believe that there's a button out there and that Donald Trump might have one, he can press it and start nuclear war, then there's no hope for you, really. You're just going to be suffering in the very near future when they start using this stuff. I also had another friend of mine. You're listening to Be Told.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Told, episode number 38 on September the 17th, 2025. Back to Eek, the host of the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Speak. You left in the car. All right, very good. There's the key. A washing report update. The shirt's in the car. The now, interesting, very interesting that last night, the people that smoke pot. Now, Dave, I do a show with Dave Joe. We're going to do, I think, 44 this week, a bongversation. I don't, but, you know, I have done, and every now and then I'll have some. Someone gave me some CBD oil the other day, and did it help me sleep? Because I tell you, I could not sleep when I don't drink. I'm really difficult to go to sleep. But that helped a little bit. But the other night, yesterday actually, I was at a job, and this guy that gave me the CBD oil, he orders this medicinal marijuana. It's like high power grade. This one's called Star something or other, and you get it in a container. I opened it up just to have a look at it, and there, that sure enough, inside is like 7 or 8 giant buds. And I just clipped a little tiny bit off and stuck it in my pocket. And I thought, just in case, I can't, you know, see what that does if it helps me sleep tonight. And I'm telling you, I had the tiniest fragment, like a 2 match heads. Yes, what do I want? Oh, okay. Just leave it in the hallway. The washing report. There's a hat, stray hat in my van. So I had had a, you know, normal cigarette, clipped a few pieces of this small, tiny thing in there, and went to bed. And I'm telling you, I was off my head for about, you know, when I woke back up again, I actually went to sleep for like 4 hours straight away. I got up to go to the toilet, and my whole body, I could feel like it is beneficial. There's no doubt about that. If you want conscious about your body, parts of your body that might not be working properly will stand out when your body's totally relaxed. And I'm baffled that there are guys out there doing 10 to 15 cones of this stuff a day. On the guide to this thing, it said to take 1 gram of it to start with, but afterwards to have 2 grams twice a day in the medicinal bong that you get. And I thought, fucking hell. I mean, this stuff blew my head off at that small amount. Like 1 gram of it would be way worse. And like the next day I felt right, still affected by it. Now, pot smokers may be getting desensitized, but make no mistake, it is not a run-of-the-mill drug. It's medicinal. But just having it, you know, 7 days a week, I think I'm their idea. Dave's can puff away nonstop all the time, and he seems to talk away. I couldn't do that. I'm afraid it does not work with me like that. I'd rather have a few drinks and self-medicate with beer on weekends only and occasional Wednesdays. But my goodness gracious, I know guys that were doing hydro, which is the cheaper version of it, where it's really, really strong, and doing 20 cones a day, 20 high power, like packed cones a day, minimum. Now, no wonder they're not normal. My goodness gracious me. I can imagine a normal, if you had, you know, bush grown, is what they call it over here, natural, you know, Sinsomelia or whatever they call, you know, one of the strains, and it had as a joint, no problem. But this cone business, oh my goodness gracious me. I just cannot do that, kind of destroy my brain. That I'm not saying destroy it, but I mean get that out of it. It's like having 12 beers in a row to me, that kind of whoa. And there are people now, the medical fraternity have now pushing it on, you know, for people. So instead of taking OxyContin stuff. Now to me, the way it affects me is that it heightens sensations. Like I think that if I had a painful knee, it would make it worse because it would make me more conscious of that exact pain. That's what I think anyway. Am I wrong? I've got no idea. But I just think you've got to watch out with doing a lot of anything. A beer is, there's no problem with beer as far as I'm concerned. As long as you're not doing what I was doing and coming home and downing 12 at a time, not so good. Not so good. But my issue was what I'd do it and then I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd start eating without any recollection of doing it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now I've lost probably 6 kilos from not drinking during the week and not snacking at night. Fantastic. Saved a fortune. They're now wanting $25 to $26 for a regular six-pack of beer in any bottle shop here. That's just outrageous. I'm sorry, outrageous. Now, anyway, so what do we do? Now, who do we trust? Who do you trust? Now, I think you got to keep your gut instincts here. And now, speaking of that fire that I caused the other day, I had this morning, I looked at it and I had a gut instinct. You should empty that, put it in a rubbish bin. So I listen to that voice? No, I didn't. I threw a burning stub of a rolly in there and it caused a fire. I had a warning beforehand. You need to empty that. I didn't listen. So this is why I keep going on about gut instinct. If you're getting any gut instinct about anything or anyone, act on it. Act on it. There's a reason why you're getting those messages. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Your life can change in a fraction. Or you can be getting a gut instinct, I should go and get something checked. If you're had an issue. I just went to the dentist because I've cracked a tooth last week. Well, I think I was talking about it as usual on last week's show. And the dentist said to me, look, man, it's like, it's close to the nerve. I can't put it filling. I can smooth it off. And he said, if it stays uninfected, you should be right. But otherwise, it might need to come out now, or I can do root canal. And I said to, and I'll say this now, I've had three root canal. Do not get root canal. Basically, what it's doing is they take out the nerve, fill it up with something or other. So you've got something dead in your body. Your body knows something's dead in it, and it sends all the white, the immune response constantly 24 hours a day to try and fight this dead thing that's in your body. Therefore, you've got a low immune system when you're doing it. So do not get root canal. Even though, as I say, I've had three of them and I am still alive, apparently. So, back to who do you trust? How do you trust it? Now, I'm getting these. I get alarm bells when I heard this one, like Ramsey mentioned something or other. He just said something and went, boom, alarm bell. His guest said something, I got alarm bell. Jubilant said something the other day, boom, alarm bell. Watch out what they're saying. You can straight away, if you get an alarm bell in your system, you know that what they're saying is weaponized. And this whole sovereign citizen thing is weaponized. And the other day that Pete, what's his name? He's a chef, good looking, all the women loved him. He was a popular chef. And the winner is Sydney, Pete, whatever his name is. He moved to Byron Bay. He became an anti-vaxxer, vocal about it. He got fucking absolute troll by media and assassinated, he's mentally ill, da-da-da-da-da. Now, the guy looks still, he's turned up again, and I saw this headline that said, Pete's toasted. And so what they've done is they've got an interview with him and found a scene where he's actually – rolled his eyes, and then I focused on that and then put that as the photo in the thing. Now, I watched it, and it's the guy who's just explaining how bad things were during COVID, and nothing he said gave me any alarm bells. As a matter of fact, I totally agree with everything he said. Forget his name, Pete. Bless me. Pete someone or other. Everyone will know if they're from Australia. Byron Bay now. Now, this is a trial by media. He cannot do anything because he became vocal against the vaccine. And so he's being attacked left, right, and centre. And then poor old Craig McLaughlin today, he was on Henry from Kylie's older brother on Neighbours back in the day. A very full of himself guy. He was a bodybuilder. He's always had a singlet on, showing off, a bit like me actually back in the day. Continuously. But I used to think, put it back on again, we can see you got muscles, da da da. I didn't realize that I was doing the same thing continuously. But that's the way it is. But anyway, I feel sorry for him now because he was playing the role of Count Frankenfurter in just as the whole cancel culture thing came out, and a couple of low rent extras that were in that production took him to court. And said that he would grope them. And look, he was playing, He was in the role of Count Frankenfurter, so he was running around and, muscled up, wearing lingerie and suspenders and leather and makeup. And so he kept in the role while he was being Count Frankenfurter, and he was jumping around giving girls kisses and stuff like that, being in the role. That's what actors do. But unfortunately, he got, they took him to court. He took the paper to court. He got exonerated. He got no charges against him. Now, he just went to apply for just a normal role in a TV show. But those people, people that are out to get you online, if you're like the Kyle and Jackie O over here, they're called those fucking witches or something witches. They just ring up and harass every sponsor of your show and say, look, we are who we are. Get rid of this guy because he's sexist or she's sexist or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And enough stupid advertisers will pull out. I did it to Alan Jones last year as well, 2 years ago. Craig McLaughlin had to resign from a normal play. He was playing a normal guy. The guy's not a bad actor, and he had a huge career. His career's fucked now because of the small minority that jump up and down when something, when they think they can get you for being, what would you call it? This toxic masculinity or whatever. So there's McLaughlin. Now I feel sorry for him now. I used to think he was full of himself, and now I'm total support of him because it's trolled by media. And if you believe the media, and who should? None of us. If they tell you to hate someone, you should like them. Guaranteed, it's always the opposite with the media. I couldn't believe it, I thought by now they've got over it, but no, they haven't. And on Facebook, there's a lot of posts there because his mother died as well last week. Now, he's had a terrible week. He went to, sign up with a show, and, everywhere he goes, he gets, yelled at because of all the dummies out there that remember what they, did. All he was doing was dressed up in his lingerie, as men shouldn't be doing, but he was doing it as part of a Rocky Horror Picture Show. And he probably put his hand on someone's leg or whatever. But they jumped out and they thought they could get money out of this. It's why they were doing it. And they destroyed his career. Now he can't have a career because of that charge. It's unbelievable what can happen to you by trial by media in this day and age. And right now they're trying their duck. We've got ABC doing a whole show on Sovereign Citizens about a month ago. Now Jubilant, etc. Now I haven't looked at other mainstream sites, but I guarantee you now this Sovereign Citizen conspiracy theorist, anti-vaxxer thing's being linked big time everywhere. It's going to tie in the next 2 months, just prior to us removing the ability for young people to go onto Facebook YouTube without signing what do you have to do, to prove your age, a biometric sign-in. Now, apparently in Vietnam, people's banks are being shut down left, right and centre because it's compulsory to give a biometric proof of identity in Vietnam at the moment. And so people are having their bank accounts closed. That started happening with COVID. We saw all of this stuff with COVID. It was a trial by, just to test every single thing they could possibly do. And we cannot forget, and you cannot stop going on about it. And anyone that tells you, if you ever hear anyone saying, oh, we've moved on now, we can just keep going, don't go on about it, you've got to start going on about the COVID 4 years and not stop it. Yeah? And actually ramp it up. Some of the incredible stupidity that you saw. I was thinking about one tonight, actually, as I was driving, what was like, hey, you couldn't do this or, you're getting reported for doing that. Oh, yeah, sewage. They were going to sewage works, taking a random sample and then coming up in the meeting going, someone in your vicinity has tested positive. It could be one of your neighbours. Go and find out. This is the way they were talking over here. They were testing effluent, sites where they were, what do they do? Where they test with a water treatment plant, with the sewages, and they were doing random tests. Then they go, we've detected a COVID, you know, variant, someone here, and your area has not been for their vaccine. That's how it was marketed over here. This is over and above anything the Russians and the Chinese did, you know, back in their days, you know, when things would get really bad in their communist takeovers. Way over and above. So just going to the toilet, you know, you might be sending your a stool sample, literally, out to the thing, and it, someone tests it, and they discover that there's a random, we've tested variant. So do you know someone that might have gone to the toilet recently? Do you think they might be an anti-vaxxer? This is literally was going on in the Hunter Valley. I've seen it happen all over the place. Small towns they were doing this to. They go to their water treatment plant or their sewage works, do a random sample and discover that there might be a variant in there. What a fucking load of old bullshit. And people believed it still. And there's still these silly old fuckwits out there. There's still silly old and young. Probably more young. Nah, it's mainly the oldie. Sorry, it is mainly the old people. And there's people walking around. I saw in Melbourne with these black masks on. And these are different masks. And these are like a disguise mask they're wearing. But they were walking down the street. And I thought, and they're dressed in black as well. I saw a couple of them. Are these, you know, intelligence agents masking, pretending they're Nazis? Because that's the other thing. That, you know, the Nazis are back again. I just noticed that Mondays at Maggie's show hasn't appeared for 2 weeks. I think they've been saying some really full-on stuff. You know, naming politicians involved with PDF files. I'll just say that. PDF files. Naming names and saying something. And I thought, fuck, man, you are really asking for trouble. But good on them for, like, standing up and saying stuff. And my goodness gracious me, they did say some stuff. But anyway, they haven't done a show for 2 weeks now. I think that's a bit strange because those guys were very regular. So what's going on? What's going on? But I think we're right in the middle of it right now. Who do I trust? Me? Me? I trust me. That's what, what's his name? Al Pacino said on that fantastic movie, Scarface. And the other one I love is when he comes back as the Italian gangster just released from jail. What's that one with Sean Penn? Carlito's Way. What a great show. Interesting, I just realised years later that Carlito Brigante was the fantastic Scottish, the girl that used to be on with Chris, not on with Chris, sometimes she was, but she actually was one of the main listeners on the Hoax Busters call, the greatest show. I have to keep repeating myself, the greatest show, my favourite show of all time. We lost CK, though. It's another CK, Chris Kendall. Coincidence or not, Chris Kendall disappeared on Easter Sunday, got stabbed in the leg by his fold-out ladder, and died that day. A really odd death. One of the greatest of all time. And then a guy turned up about 2-3 weeks later, I forget his name, that sounded identical to him. Not quite identical, but very similar on Fakeologist. Very odd coincidence. And he's disappeared now as well. You're listening to Be Told.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
You're listening to the last bit of Be Told, episode number 38 on September the 17th, 2025. And back to the host, Beck.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Wonderful to have a little co-host here that comes in and does the after bumper introduction, so I don't need to do it anymore. Fabulous. Now, I'm heading to the Winner Is in the morning, early, to work a couple of days, and I'll be back, and I'll be back on Saturday night with Rick and Rollo, and definitely on the Bongversations 44, which will be Sunday afternoon with Dave J. Fabulous. Fabulous. And I think he's been knocking out a whole lot of stuff, and I got a whole lot of people. His CK one, his Charlie Kirk one, got a huge, he's more than the Bongversations. The Bongversations get 500 or 600, you know, people listening. But his people want to know about Charlie Kirk. Now, I had, going back to him, I had never even, had I heard him, maybe I saw a couple of his interviews where he's asking pertinent questions about people who are sticking their children into psychological torture by having their bits cut off or taking puberty blockers. I'll say this again for anyone slow of thinking that they think, it's kind of puberty blockers are kind of an easy kind of, you know, it's not any, it's not, they're not actually getting their tits cut off or their testicles removed, etc. Puberty blockers are the same as the when women go on to hormone replacement, HRT. And if a woman goes on HRT, they are told in no uncertain terms that after 15 years, they will be the subject of mega cancer risks. So you've got 15 years from when you start doing the HRT protocol. These kids are only, say, 10, 11 or 12 going on to puberty blockers. 15 years after that, it's 27, they're all going to die. The 27 club's going to get a lot bigger. There you go. Another exclusive from Be Told. I've said this before, but how many people don't pick this up, you know, that you've told when you go on to HRT, hormone replacement therapy, 15 years, and after that you get mega risks for cancers. It's going to cause all sorts of imbalances in your body. Yet they're putting kids on them. They're putting kids on them. And Charlie Kirk was questioning it, and allegedly someone put a high-powered round into his went into his. The angle I saw was like a 30-something degree angle. The first one I saw went in and out straight away, and there was blood splatter on the curtain behind him, instantaneous, and he fell over. The second one I saw was a closer one, and it was this boom, and I didn't see blood splatter behind him, but he just fell over. I'm telling you, just go to a university in your vicinity with a I Support Hitler badge on and a sign saying Hitler was right, and see how long you last. And if someone had been issued a gun, and especially someone that's on puberty blockers, I reckon someone would shoot you if you were that brazen. Now, I don't know. I was not there, but the footage I saw looked pretty good. But then I have seen footage, all of my favorite cowboy movies, particularly Sam Peckinpah. And I talked about this the other day. So we've moved into the age of Peckinpah. We've desensitized everyone into, you know, seeing blood splatters on white clothing and stuff like that. Kids are all using these first-person shooter games. It doesn't affect people like it did, but if, I remember as a child watching a show called The Young Rebels, which was there you go, there's someone coming here. I can't see who you are as yet, but I soon will. Silas, hey, man, perfect. How are you, dude? I was just actually talking about this show called The Young Rebels, which came out about 72. And it was like the mod squad for the Battle of Independence in America. And as a 7-year-old, approximately, I was watching an episode where a famous character from America's history was part of the show, and he was hung. And you just saw his boots, buckled boots, swaying. And I remember being totally traumatized by just seeing that as a 7-year-old. Now, today's kids can watch a movie with Keanu Reeves putting, I would say, about 300 or 400 people to their meet their maker with facial shots with a high-powered velocity pistol right in the face. They've been desensitized. So Charlie Kirk shooting hardly desensitized anyone. Silas, you can speak if you want. You will forever hold your peace. I can see you. Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. It's, the Charlie Kirk shooting. It's that entire thing was really designed to create as much public trauma as possible.
I think so.
They have certain projects that they're probably going to pass after this. And unfortunately, let's be honest, it's the left wing who are the unhinged ones. They literally just walked into the arms of the way that they've acted over these years. They've just walked into the arms of the tyrants. And this is the thing. The psychological warfare is... And the way that it's functioned along dialectical lines. So, for example, the left wing, they have this view of themselves that they believe that, of course, they're fighting fascism and all of this.
Yes.
In fact, yes. What they're doing is creating the problems by which the fascism, which will come in later on, fully at least, that will be able to manifest through their actions. It's the same with the conservatives as well. The conservatives are... Now, if you even, you know, speak ill of Charlie Kirk, and believe me, I wouldn't, but yeah.
You get kicked off. So apparently Elon Musk sacked 2,000 people today from some site for one of them said, you know, good job, Charlie Kirk got shot, you know, blah, 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 you know, like I'm really unupset. And so he sacked people. So you've got this, as you say, it's a dialectic going on right now. If you say that you agree with it, you're done for. If you say you support it, you're done for. You know, if you say that you feel sorry for Charlie Kirk, you're done for. I'm seeing people on Facebook, and I don't regret going back on there because I'm actually getting a real good, exposure of what my friends and what people I randomly know actually really do think, and it's quite frightening.
I was in university when this whole thing had occurred, and the amount of people that were cheering his death.
Yes.
I mean, just even this is just the narrative. I mean, the entire event itself, we could speak about that. It looks rather inauthentic, right? Should we say? But
I watched two. Now, I'm not one for watching this kind of stuff normally, but. It got shared to me, so I watched the first one, which was a long, long distance shot of him talking, and it was to me extremely. If it was a squib, it was the timing and the sound of the gunshot was perfectly timed. So you saw the explosion before they heard the gunshot. Now that's how fast subsonic weaponry works, and sound travels far slower, so you always see it. So it was done really well with the first one. Then I saw the close-up one where we actually see it go into his throat, and a whole lot of blood comes up straight afterwards. And to me, it looked pretty authentic. But then any movie I've seen, and I was talking about Keanu Reeves, where he just guns people down wholesale. He outdoes Rambo by 10-1. John Wick. Yeah, I watched that, and but I know that they're using CGI for John Wick. But so this it looked pretty accurate to me, but they couldn't get away with doing anything inaccurate if it is a psychological operation. But they needed it to look as real as possible.
It's strange because there's you find with a lot of these events there's an inconsistency of eyewitness testimony. So yeah. Some people say that he slouched forward, some say he slouched back, some say he was shot in the heart, some say he was shot in the neck. And it's interesting as well because there was a preponderance of cameras there, you know, well, not cameras, phones. And you only have certain, I think there's maybe three or four angles to it and that's it. And what's interesting as well, is let's just say the event, pardon me, actually occurred. What we're seeing on the video footage, especially, I mean, this becomes more pronounced with the close-up shot. And I basically pulled an all-nighter last night. I've been writing notes on it. And if you look at the... So, for example, you have the freedom and he gets shot in the neck. Of course, the whole symbolism of that is that, you know, freedom of speech is gone,
yeah,
right?
Shut up.
But the... Shut up, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, shut up.
But well, right. If you look
at... Do you think... I also saw a bit of 9/11, you know, when... Because it happened almost... It was a 9/11 day, as far as I'm concerned. But just remember the first tower where it gets hit, which I always said was very much like the Jesus with the Roman soldier ramming the bayonet into the spear into Jesus' side. That was exactly where you saw that footage of the towers getting hit on the very first one, was that to the right of the body, and that's kind of where Charlie Kirk got shot.
Yeah, and it also came out like that as well. Came out like the water. You see that, you saw that same symbolism in the Passion of the Christ. Typically, yep. By the way, when blood comes out, when it comes out, he was either hitting the carotid artery or probably the jugular, right? And
I think it was the jugular one I saw was, it was the carotid. It was on the right, kind of the right side. Sorry, the left-hand side facing the camera, just above the clavicle, I guess, that kind of area.
Yeah,
that's the one.
So the blood would have been coming out, not meaning to be morbid, it would have been coming out extremely bright red because, of course...
It was in the one I saw. That's what made me think it looked real because it was purplish. But that was a cop. Ex-cop that's gone mad, that's now a conspiracy theorist he was sharing it on Facebook. So that's and I thought I better watch it, you know, because I'm going to know that I'll be talking about it. Anyway, I just have to say, we're on Be Told 38 and I've got the wonderful Silas Speaks, which has been something that should happen more often, but it's really good to hear your voice, Silas, on this, the 17th of September, 2025. But do keep talking.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, pleasure to have you.
The blood as well. Typically, when blood comes out of arterial ways, and I had to, of course, unfortunately, look this up. It typically comes out in a manner that is firstly, it's highly pressurized. It's not like flowing water, and then secondly,
like
as well,
water. This was like flowing water, like a big glob came out. And it wasn't like high pressure. You'd imagine exploding out, which is like it did from what I saw from the first shot. The back of it was like it happened that like it hit the blood hitting the neck and the back of the thing. To me, from the first shot, looked like a real gunshot. To me, you know, if I was to think of one, but then it could have been because the second one didn't look the same. Mm-hmm. The closer one. But anyway, keep talking, sorry.
No. And also when he falls down, there seems to be blood at the other side. So it's almost like it's given the indication that he was shot, you know, from it would be our right, but his left. Which, of course, that's not the case because this shooter was supposedly on the roof, right? And
yeah,
don't get
right,
me wrong,
the
measure...
One also.
Oh, sorry, prick.
No, keep going. Sorry,
man. No, the crack and the boom. So you heard the shot, and then you heard the crack, of it. The, you know, obviously traveling through the air, breaking the sound barrier. So effectively, if you do the measurement on it, yes, the shooter was 146 yards away. So that checks out. That's pretty much near as damn it, you know, where the roof is, if I recall correctly. So it's about 146 yards, give or take, right?
I just have to say this for the conspiracy theorist, number 11, 146, number 11. On the 11th of September.
Well, you see that quite a lot in this whole event. Was there's another thing to mention as well, of course, is that. So when he was shot, there was no... And also as well, when the blood comes out, it comes out pressurized and it comes out in a pulsating manner because, of course, the you know, the heart is pumping the blood. So it comes out at the same pulsating rhythm as the heart. It doesn't come out again as a flow of water. Another thing as well, if he was using a 30-odd six, and I've looked at several ballistic gel, you know, shots of this at around about 200 yards, which is give or take where we're at with this shot officially. And also the, you know, shots, it's a pig carcass, right? Now, don't get me wrong, some of these shots weren't neck shots, but the amount of flesh that is ripped away with a 30-odd six.
306, a 30-odd six there. I've fired those rifles before. When I saw it, I said the only weapon that would have done what I saw would be a 222 or, you know, a small velocity, smaller round. But a 30-odd six would have blown him off his chair, and he would have kept. He would have gone right through the stage. In my mind,
and you notice as well. Oh, sorry, Rick. Please finish your point.
No, I just think that if you're saying it was a 30-odd six used, I didn't know that. I would have said that's what it would say. That's not a real footage then, because he would have been blown off his chair by the impact of that round. If it was a 30-06, that is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And furthermore as well, you don't see any blood splatters. The trajectory itself would have caused that. And people are saying, well, the individual hit his ballistic vest, but he's not wearing a ballistic vest. We know that because...
He wasn't hit in a ballistic... He was hit on his the side of his... Just above his T-shirt line on the side of the throat. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was almost a direct hit. And yeah, so the issue is with that is how did it cause that little amount of impact, right? What people were thinking is, of course, the bullet fragmented when it hit, you know, wherever on the ballistic vest, and then that projectile, that fragmentary projectile from that shattering bullet, of course, then struck his you know, his neck and caused that laceration, which caused that type of, but that's not the case. He was almost directly hit with the bullet, which doesn't make sense for a 30-odd six. And there's a few other things as well. Of course, there was no blood splatters at the back. The camera at the back of him was also, that was taken away before the FBI did their investigation. They're now paving over this entire area just to, of course, bury any other evidence. And moreover as well.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've just started on that. Yeah.
Okay, well, that would say to me that the whole thing was fake. If they're doing that, or they want to cover something up, they don't want any truth involved if that's happening. Because, you know, normally they would do analysis nonstop. This happened in Tasmania after the... Tasmanian shooting with, in 96 or 97, whatever that was. I think it was 96, 97.
I think it was 96.
They bulldozed the cafe and put a memorial up before any inquiry could have gone into the thing. I mean, to me, it was like, that's a bit suspicious, you know, when you do that, unless you want to cover something up. You don't want to, but the footage has been showed. I would hope people actually have shared it or kept it to a hard drive, just like the New Zealand one. We got to, you know, I don't know how much you saw of that, but after that one, Silas, I was in a cafe, no, in a pub. There's a whole group of young guys, you know, between 18 and 19, 20, so in a poker machine room. And I just thought, I'll ask them, you know, because this is 3 days after. I said, any of you guys see the footage? And I mean, they turned around and went, oh, yeah. They said it was, well, you're listening to Be Told 38. Be Told.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Listening to Be Told with Silas Speaks, which is a fantastic coup to get Silas Speaks and me at the same time on a Wednesday night, the 17th of September, 2025. Silas, keep keep talking. Actually, no, I'll finish while I was just getting it through. So I spoke to these young guys, and they said to them, it was the game they were playing was World of Warcraft, and they said it was the same footage with the way that he was firing, the actual shell casings were going up in the air and disappearing as he was firing, and they said it looked like World of Warcraft. They were convinced they were watching a computer game. Now, these were young, non-conspiracy theorists. These were just people that just saw the footage, shared it, and said, that looks like that game we play. Now, as far as I was concerned, that was straight bang to rights. Okay, I will not trust that footage, what I saw, because, you know, I watched it, and I was like, eh, geez, you know. But, you know, they will use any technique because they know what's it called? Human nature changes what you saw anyway. You'll actually enhance things by what you're wanting to say because I saw something more than other people. But anyway, you keep talking, and I will not.
No, you're totally on point. So your brain just simply, of course, the first day or two, I was in shock. I was like, Jesus. You know, this is this changes everything. Not really. I wasn't thinking really at that point of the little project that the Heritage Foundation is attempting to unfurl on us all. But I'll maybe get into that in the video that I'll do on Odyssey and Rumble. Maybe not here, but anyway, I was still in shock because I knew, God, you know, how are the left going to react to this? And I'm in university. I have no real fear of the right. I mean, the right wing, of course, now has, they're calling it consequence culture. It really is just cancel culture. So they've adopted cancel culture. Pam Bondi, who is the Attorney General in the US, she's also attempting to institute hate speech laws. Of course, remember, it's not covered by the First Amendment already to incite violence. But hate speech laws are completely different. That's something which, of course, that the government just hates, right? It's supposed to be elastic and flexible and vague because, of course, the government are constantly changing their parameters of what they classify as dissident behavior or whatnot. So they're using this as a problem reaction solution, of course. But something else to mention with the video. So the video that we see, not necessarily of the other angles because it's far more difficult to see. That's another thing. In the era of 4K camera, we all have grainy footage. Why? I have no idea.
Well, as soon as you say grainy footage, and today's 4K camera, especially the iPhone 17, which most people at university are roaming around with. I don't know how, but they are. These things actually correct everything. There's a lot of AI used in the taking a photo. But I think it's very hard to get grainy footage with an... Say you've got an Apple 12. You try and make yourself a grainy footage. Just take a photo of your cat walking down. Whatever. It will not come out grainy. It will come out as high definition, perfect visual. But if you're seeing something on the media site that's grainy, then you know not to trust it. That's my advice.
Absolutely. And here's another thing as well. So I must have drunk maybe 7 cups of coffee last night. And, I was pretty much like some internet sleuth looking at this footage that is the one with the close-up. Of the entire event. So there's many inconsistencies with it. So the first thing, I won't even go to his ring because we can actually explain the ring. The ring is somebody stated that it's like a latch ring, meaning you can sort of latch, so we could put it down to that. He did like to fidget with that. That's fine, whatever, right? That's why it looks like it's been morphed into the, you know, from the ring finger into the pinky finger and then it falls off at the end. But that's sort of just a red herring. The main problem with this is when he gets shot, see, when his body moves, the bullet hole doesn't move with his body. It moves. I would actually have to show you the slowed down footage of it, but that'll be in my video. I'm going to do a video today on this.
I was going to say, have you? So you got one ready to go, obviously.
I don't have the footage. Well, I have the footage somewhere, but it'll be in the Charlie Kirk folder, and I've got everything out in sequence.
Can I just say that you're going to get an awful lot of hits on this when you put it out, because it's a really popular subject.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not putting it up to YouTube. I'm only putting it up to Odyssey and Rumble for obvious reasons. There's another thing as well. So you see the freedom, the F just disappears. And it's, somebody say, well, it's the crease of his, you know, it's the crease of the white shirt being ruffled and, you know, it's covered the F. No, not at all. Because his arm sort of moves, you know, the way, you know, he is shot. His arm moves, right? So it takes the fabric with it, but it also takes the F with it. But here's another, this is the main issue. See the E's within freedom. The E's move up and down between each frame. Again, because it's AI generated. What you're seeing there isn't the footage from that event. It's basically a deep fake. And there's a few other things as well with that entire footage. But that, I mean, those are the main ones. Another one is, so he's bleeding profusely. The blood that's flowing out from his neck is just going into nowhere. So it's similar to how AI liquid and the flow of liquid works, you know?
Interesting. Yeah, so this is above my pay grade when it comes to digital footage and stuff like that. Like all I saw was this kind of globule of blood coming out, and he kind of looks at it and falls backwards or whatever, forward, whatever. I can't quite remember. But I was on Fakeologist on the Discord, and I said, looks to me, that looked real. But then I'd suggested it would have to have been a very, like a 2-2-2, like a really small round that would go in and out without you actually noticing before you know you've been hit, because that's what it looked like. But if they're now saying it's a 30-06, that wouldn't just do that. That would blow you off your chair.
Oh, yeah. And it would create a huge exit wound.
Yeah, a huge exit wound, but it would actually take most of your shoulder off. You know, it wouldn't have just, because you've got bone behind the entry wound that would have just exploded. It would have been a way more frightening thing to see. It didn't look that, it looked to me like its glob of blood comes up. He kind of looks at it, you know, and then he falls backwards. That was the second. There's four things that got shared, and I only watched two of them.
Sorry, Rick. Here's the weird thing about that, right? I was thinking about it because I thought it looked real in the beginning, but again, that's just the shock of it. Anyway, see when he falls back, he's got all this blood coming out of his left side, right? So it'd be congealing, or not congealing, but collecting on the floor. The floor that he's about to fall into. When the footage that you see of, so firstly, when he falls on the floor, right?
Yep.
The entire security detail crowd him, so no cameras can see anything.
Yeah.
Why would you do that with a man who's just been shot? Well, the primary reason they would give is, well, we're trying to stop any further incoming shots, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, this is superb if it was a blood squib, because there's a finite amount of blood. And of course, if you have 8 gallons of blood, you're not going to have a blood squib that has 8 gallons of blood.
No such thing.
Especially if it's a mobile blood squib, you know, so you'll have a finite amount of blood, just enough to create the effect, but not enough, of course, to, well, basically simulate an actual loss of 8 gallons of blood. And here's the thing as well. See, when they pick him up, he has no blood on his shoes are still white when they're taking him off to the car. It's only his left shoulder that's bloodied. His arm is not bloodied. His left arm isn't bloodied. The rest of his clothes are not bloodied. If you'd hit the carotid artery or the jugular, he would be absolutely soaking with blood. There would be blood everywhere, you know?
It would look like my favourite end of... One of my favourite movie scenes that I keep sharing ad nauseum is The Wild Bunch by Sam Peckinpah. The final shootout scene where there's a Gatling gun and a whole lot of Mexicans and a whole lot of mercenaries all shooting each other. And there's more blood in that than the Charlie Kirk shooting, just by a factor of about 10. But they do it fairly, to me, it looked really, I love that scene. I thought it looks realistic, but if you'd been hit, and particularly the heart, the carotid artery, your heart doesn't stop pumping. It will just keep throwing the blood out. And you'll see, I think, as you said, you've looked at real pigs being shot with a 30-06 rather. There's a lot more devastation than what we saw with the Charlie Kirk one. I'll just say that and agree with
absolutely.
You.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. It was taking bits of flesh off, and this is places that are, of course, far more... I guess you would say biologically protected and anatomically protected than, say, the neck, right? Neck is quite a fleshy part of one's body. And there's no blood drip. There's no dripping of blood when he is, you know, dragged off into the car. So, and there's no blood on any of the security detail.
Yeah,
remember, this guy has been bleeding from the left. He's fallen to the left. And there's... None of them, and they're all treating him, they've all lifted him up, and none of them have any blood on them. So that's another issue. Here's the major one, right? This is something that's rather interesting.
If you're going to say it's major over what you just said, this is going to be a good one. I'm keen to hear.
Well, here's the thing. So we have this private jet, this N888KG, that's the name it goes by, that left from Provo Airport. And I believe it left from Provo Airport. I think that's called Lehi, Utah, right? And it's just outside of Orem, Utah. And it might still be part of Orem. I do forget now. But anyway, the plane is registered to Lehi, Utah. Anyway, it left. It's 12 minutes away from the school, from UVU, from Utah Valley University, to that Provo University is exactly 12 minutes. That plane left at exactly 12 minutes. What people are suspecting is that, of course, there's other things with that story, but people are suspecting that it was the shooter, the real shooter that left, right?
On that plane.
However, maybe perhaps it was Charlie Kirk, because that plane was going to Page, Arizona. Page, Arizona is between the border of Utah and Arizona, and of course, then you have another four-hour drive to Phoenix, where, of course, Charlie Kirk lived. Well, actually, he lived there until about 8 months ago, and then he sold his Phoenix, Arizona mansion.
Pretty much. Yes. All right, I'm going to start saying this is the very suspicious things going on here.
Yep.
And I'm hearing Glenn Campbell's by the time I get to Phoenix in the back of this somewhere, but it sounds to me very suspicious, and well done for doing some serious analysis and being at university trying to study building codes at the same time. Fantastic. Doing well. Solace?
It's very, very interesting. And here's another one. So this is probably the pinnacle of this rather curious mystery, right? So we have Kash Patel. He mentioned this
Who's
was
Kash
an
Patel
autumn.
Again? The CIA,
he's the
FBI.
He's FBI, the FBI chief, and he mentioned in Orem, Utah. I think this was the day after, maybe September 11th, September 12th. He mentioned that, you know, rest easy. This was right at the end, his conclusionary remarks when he was giving the press conference. Rest easy, brother. Not rest easy now, brother. We have the watch. I will see you in Valhalla. Now, rather peculiar. What is Valhalla? Why would a Hindu mention a Protestant about Valhalla?
Not normal. I'm going to have to say right now, not normal. If he had been a wrestler with the WEF or whatever, the World WWF, and he was into Thor and the mythology of Thor, etc. Yes, but if he's actually a Hindu, he mentions Valhalla. There's a big question mark over that one. Big question mark.
The thing is, as well, that can be used in military slang, but none of them are in the military. I don't think Kash Patel was in the military. I don't think so. So the usage of that word itself is strange. Now, I looked up, this was before they deleted Tyler Robinson's Facebook. I think that was on the night of September 11th, maybe September 12th.
Interrupt a little bit. You understand Tyler is a Masonic medal as well, the Tyler.
Oh, yeah, the Tyler, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and you also had, the Minneapolis shooter recently who was called, Robin Westman, and now we have Tyler Robinson. Yeah. You know, robbing the sun from the world.
It sounds suspicious to me. I know this is my favourite stuff. My favourite is the esoteric. And as soon as I heard the shooter's name was Tyler, I went, well, boom. Because I've gone on about the band Queen. The fact that each one of their names was, Brian May had, May being Mayday. But the drummer's name is Taylor. And Taylor comes from Tyler. He had Mercury. And then you had the bass player, which is J.R. Junior Deacon, J.R. Deacon. It literally his middle name is something, James Robert Deacon. So you had J.R. Deacon. These are all Masonic medals that you get when you go to so there's a big there, obviously. And Charlie Kirk, CK, you've got your C and your K, which is, your 33.
311.
311s. 33. And that's what a lot, before you came on, I've been saying that I can't believe that as a, registered conspiracy theorist of some 40 years or more, 42 years, I'm now getting the same amount of fakeologist stuff off Facebook than I would be if I went onto a fakeologist Discord or whatever. There's a lot of people interested in the stuff at the moment. So people are waking up. There are people that are actually aware of these coincidences and synchronicities and synconspiracies is a good word to call it, synconspiracies. But the fact that his name was Tyler, to me, was straight out. This is telling you that this is one of those organized events. And not to worry, just...
Oh, absolutely. Even the photographs that you have of him from the Facebook page, so this ties in with the Valhalla thing, they look staged. He looks like he's literally just posing there. They've quickly taken like a snapshot of photos and, to basically establish this character, right? And so, I mean, there's also the problems as well. He wasn't carrying a gun down. People are saying, well, he was carrying a gun, No, he wasn't carrying a gun. A 30-06 long rifle would be highly visible. And then they're saying, well, he put it in his pants, or his trousers, if you're British. So he put it in his trousers. How the hell can you put a 30-06?
A rifle chambered in
your trousers?
Impossible. Unless you had crutches on, you're walking like you were a cripple, maybe you might be able to do it, but no, otherwise no.
Maybe, yeah. So he didn't have the rifle when he left the roof. So and furthermore, why would he just leave the rifle there, right? You need the murder weapon to quickly close the case.
Yep.
Why would you leave that? Totally Scooby-Doo,
Scooby-Doo, And I think the fact that he'd written pro-trans things on the bullet. You're listening to Be Told 38.
No matter what your age.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
And you're listening to Be Told, episode number 38, with the fantastic Silas Speaks, all the way from Edinburgh in Scotland, and Rick from the Be Told show. September the 17th, 2025. And Silas, but you just keep talking away because it's really good stuff.
So here's the clincher with the Valhalla thing. If you look at, there's a Facebook photo, there's several photos. It's when he moved into UVU in the, well, we call them dorms over here, right? When he moved into the dorms, basically the on-site accommodation in the campus, and, or wherever he moved, I think it was his, it was the place just outside of the campus, like some sort of a house that he lived in. Anyway, so when he moved into this place, he took a flurry of photos, but every photo from the bedroom was with this computer. And on the computer screen, there was this island, right? But it wasn't like a wallpaper. See, like when you start up the desktop, you have this startup screen, right? And it will have... It has the, of course, the wallpaper behind it, or the picture, or the image behind it, but it will also have, for example, the time, the date, your name, whatever it may be. That wasn't there. So basically, it was just a still image on this computer.
This is Tyler, the shooter you're talking about.
Tyler Robinson, yeah, the shooter. And if you geolocate, which I did, I geolocated this island. It's Goat Island. It's called Goat Island in New Zealand. It's very, it's far flung, right? Even, you know, don't get me wrong, New Zealand's far flung, but this island is far flung from New Zealand. And anyways, yeah, so Goat Island. So, of course, the goat, we have the connection with the 15th tarot card, which is the devil, which is the hairy goat. Deuteronomy 33:2, Yahweh came from Mount Seir. Seir in Hebrew means hairy goat, so the mountain of the hairy goat. And of course, the way you pronounce 15 in Yah in Hebrew is Yah. So this is why, of course, the Masonic magic square n equals 3. If you have a 3x3 magic square, it equals to 15. All diagonals, rows, columns equal 15, because this is, of course, the devil, right? The lord of the earth. And moreover as well, we have Baphomet, Eliphas, Leves, Baphomet, the Satyr, the Pan. Of course, the Hebrew equivalent of the Satyr is the Seirim, again from the same root as Seir, which literally means the hairy goat. So these are wilderness demons. So you have all of this tied into this Goat Island thing, right? But of course, you have the Goat as well, which is the acronym for the greatest of all time. And then on this island, I could not believe it when I found it. You have a house called, do you guess what it's called? Valhalla Danish House. I will see you in Valhalla, brother. Right. And also really, as well.
Okay. That's really high level conspiracy gold. You've just picked up on that.
Well, there's more to this. So Valhalla is also the colloquial code. Well, it's the code name, I guess you could say. It's the code name within the FBI. For the WITSEC, what's WITSEC? Well, WITSEC is witness security, right? So
really?
It's literally, yeah, it's witness protection. Whoa. That's what it's called. They take them to a safe house. The safe house is called Valhalla. So, whoa. You know, it,
yeah, no, what you're doing, Silas, here is you've exploded the whole Charlie Kirk thing as being way more esoteric than what you're being given, which is no surprise to me, to be honest. You know, I'm going, no surprise whatsoever.
There's another thing about this entire event as well, which is, again, I won't get too much into it here, but in terms of Kabbalistic eschatology, meaning the end times, this catastrophism that they're all working towards, this completely fits in with that. And essentially, if you read the Zohar, what is desired is firstly, they need war to really ramp up, not just geopolitical global war, but they need civil war to ramp up as well. So this, again, this divides people. It causes a great deal of instability within the US as well. And this instability, of course, at least in the sort of, you know, the population, the there's the lower, you know, the lower classes, it causes instability. So that can be used as a rationalization for, you know, increased...
Have you seen or heard how Elon Musk's turned up on this whole scene? He has just come out with both guns blazing, shooting, you know, which, you know, he has become a major part of this thing, even though there's nothing to do with it. And some of the English protest marches were going on the same time as Charlie Kirk got shot last week. You had the huge amount of people turning up to complain about the mass migration, hotels, et cetera, which people like me that are on Facebook are seeing non-stop. And I was saying to somebody a couple of weeks ago, I said, are you getting the same amount of stuff about England and Scotland and Ireland being taken over by migrants? Yes, they are. They're getting it non-stop. Barrage. So this is what you call a perfect storm of agendas all meeting at the same time. At the same time as the moon was full, I have to say that, and there was a strange full moon again around the same time as Kirk got shot. They always do things with astronomical and astrological poignancy. And there's no doubt that this has been timed perfectly, and especially the fact that it happened on the 10th in America, but the actual reaction kind of the tsunami of grief came out on the 11th of September, which is, you know, the day before, what do they call it, the new lunar, what do they call it when, what's that, group of Coptic Christians. Is it the New Year's Day of Coptic Christianity, September the 11th, or is it the New Year's Eve of Coptic Christianity, September the 11th? Either way, it was perfectly timed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, all of these things are perfectly timed. I mean, there's also the angle of Israel to this whole thing, too, which is, I mean, it's so... I mean, just... I'm just... You know, this is from recollection. I have 85 pages of this. So, literally, Israel did have some sort of role in this. If people are claiming they did not, then at least 60 pages of my notes must be completely wrong. All of the connections that it's not even a stretch. They're clear connections between Israel and this event. I mean, Kirk as well was planning a conversion to Catholicism. Of course, Catholicism is the least. Yeah. According to Candace Owens and several others that were close to him. So, of course, this takes him away from the whole Israel thing. Ben Shapiro now, of course, has mentioned that we shall pick up the blood-stained microphone where Charlie left it, right? Now, wow. Ben Shapiro, of course, is a complete Zionist.
Brilliant.
But Ben Shapiro just is also remember, just...
Just remember, Captain Kirk, another CK, there's a Kirk there. With, and that is a huge thing for the... I've been talking about CKs and various different CKs involved in psychological operations. And what I was hoping to talk about, and we can talk about it later, is the Profumo affair with Christine Keeler, CK, just like Charlie Kirk. Massive operation done in 62 prior to Kennedy shooting, which is another K, but JK, JFK. There's a big there, the all these names and, you know, coincidental alphabetical numbers, blah, blah, blah. It's all happening at the same time. Keep going.
Oh, absolutely,
sorry.
Yeah. There's other tie-ins with this event. For example, this was, I think it was 33 months and 3 days after Trump's inauguration.
Really?
It was the one of Charlie Kirk's life. I think it was the 1,665 or 66. week, you know, so
there's,
and of course, even 1665 Of course, 1 in 5 creates 6, so you actually have 666.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you have all of these things.
And I'll just add the American dollar and the Australian dollar. The American dollar is $666 more than the Australian dollar right now. This week, you know, it's all happening at the same time. There's a big there, guaranteed.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, you have astronomical connections as well, but that's something I haven't looked into yet. I've just heard murmurings of
it. There was definitely a moon, very unusual moon the other night, and it's called the something moon. And
yeah, the blood moon. Always, I think, we've had a blood moon, yeah.
Yep. And blood, I guess if you go back and look at blood moons and assassinations, you're going to see a whole lot of coincidences. Yes,
oh, yeah. Well, the thing is that that's part of Kabbalah. That's part of the eschatology of Kabbalah. They state on the fact that this is right at the point where the final culmination of destruction will occur with the world, right? Because the world has to be alchemically purified, effectively. They call it the tikkun, the rectification, but you have to have a blood moon tetrad. So that will occur either in 2043, 2044, or 2049, 2050. This, of course, is the, with the gateway year of 2001, 9/11, we will have 49 years of pure tribulation and tumultuousness. Of course, why 49? 7 times 7. 7, of course, is the, it's in classical astronomy, it's the 7th planet of Saturn as well. So, yeah.
Just a coincidence.
Here's another one about the menorah. So if you look at a bird's eye view on the 7, this is actually the entire courtyard is shaped like a menorah.
I saw that. And I thought that can't be right. But yes, it is. The courtyard where it was shot was a menorah.
Well, there's even more to this, actually, because there's a little path which is 4 layers deep throughout that menorah. Which is, it's like a small waterfall, and it's leading down, of course, to where Charlie Kirk was speaking. Now, if you overlay the 4 worlds, which are basically 4 sephirotic trees interlaced with each other, they create 32 sephira or vessels. Wow. If you overlay that over the pattern of pebbles and blocks down this little waterfall, which is, again, 4 layers deep, corresponding to the 4 worlds of Kabbalah, the 32 points or vessels or sephira, they line up exactly with the configuration of pebbles and blocks. The
just
entire
unfortunately, it's not a coincidence. These things are always done on particular moons, on particular sites, and we'll go back to Kenkil 33. And the Kennedy psychological operation, which happened, you know, now 61 years this year. Incredible. And Charlie Kirk, you know, there's a big CK right there for those of you who are into this kind of stuff. And it's fabulous to have Silas Speaks doing his high-level breakdown of the shooting. Fantastic.
Here's another thing.
Go.
Oh, sorry, Rick. I have so much things I want to speak about. I do apologize.
Keep speaking because I need to be put in my place and I need you to keep talking and I'll interrupt every now and then.
Well, so we had several things released prior to all of this. We had our New York Times our article on the shooting of Charlie Kirk that was posted, I think, about an hour before the actual death of Charlie Kirk. Jerusalem Post also did. Here's one for you. Israel wasn't connected, right? Well, Benjamin Netanyahu then must be, a fortune teller, because I was there. I saw this all as it was unfolding at the time. I've been looking at it for the past now 7 days. He posted a condolence Twitter message. On 12:03, it was either 12:03 or 12:04. I think it was 12:04. Charlie Kirk didn't get shot until 12:23.
Well,
so What the F is up with that, right?
How the fuck does he know? Well, no surprise. No surprise.
Well, Trump was quite good as well, because it was a minute after he was shot. So it was about 12:24. It was 12:25. So it was like a minute and a half after he was shot. He put up this condolence. How do you write a condolence message on Truth Social X in less than 2 minutes? Just as soon as, the video itself of the assassination is in 2 minutes. And totally impossible.
There was stuff on Facebook. There's a guy, I keep forgetting his name, but he posted all the stuff, and I was going, whoa, like, why am I not seeing that on fakeologist.com or whatever? And it was, there was a book apparently about the shooting of Charlie Kirk that got published a day before he got shot.
Yeah. The shooting of Charlie Kirk. There's a few other things. Sorry, man.
No, keep going, man. You keep going. Do not ever apologize on the Be Told show.
Yeah, the shooting of Charlie Kirk. So it's basically, it was released a day previously. I forget its subtitle now. It'll come back to me. How America responded or something. But it was written by an Anastasia J. Casey. So again, if you put all those together, it almost phonetically sounds like a staged case. Right? But people are saying, well, you can actually change the publishing date within, Amazon. Not to my knowledge, and I've only published about 7 books up to both Lulu, Amazon, and all of this, and I don't think you can change the publishing date. No. Perhaps you can. Perhaps it's something I've missed. But I don't think you can.
I don't think you can. I think it came out prior to the whole thing. But what it's doing, though, and I have to say this, it's causing this mass confusion. It's causing this not to trust who you're getting information from. So it's a perfect wave of psychological operation. Yeah. The whole thing smells. It smells. And you've actually nailed a whole lot of things that I did not know. So keep going.
Oh, well, here's another thing about that book. So when you publish something up to Amazon, Lulu is similar in this regard as well, though they have a longer wait time. Amazon, the minimum wait time for to publish, so you just don't have to write the books. Let's just say it was completely fabricated, right, with AI, right? And it was edited via AI and all of this, and it was complete gobbledygook, right? I haven't actually read the book. I never managed to get it in time. I was at uni, unfortunately, so I never had time to purchase the book.
Good excuse.
So it takes about 72 hours. Once you click publish, it takes 72 hours for the thing to, go on to the platform. So it wasn't actually the 9th. It was more along the lines of, maybe the 5th or the 6th, and he started writing it on the 4th. So you're getting into crazy. This is serious fortune telling we're getting into here, right?
Oh, yeah.
And here's another one, so that this will blow your mind. This is how you know it's staged, because you have what's called characteronyms, and you have foreshadowing. So just before he was shot, the individual was talking about, now, don't get me wrong, I don't think this individual was actually involved in it per se. He might have been. But they select all of the questions that, of course, they're going to pose to Charlie Kirk. It's not just, I don't think you can just step up and talk about this thing. You also have the security detail given the signal to shoot the suspect, right? Which is, when he stroked his arm and he pointed to Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
That's a SWAT team signal or just a tactical signal. That is the suspect, take him down. But anyway, right before he got shot, he was talking about trans mass shooters. Why? Because this is who they were going to blame it on. It's what's called the narrative establishment or narrative writing. Yep. It's foreshadowing. Here's another one with characteronyms, right? Characteronyms, what are they? Characteronyms are basically the names of characters that are used to describe or to indicate their role to the audience. So
you're listening to Be Told 38. Be Told.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
And you're listening to A Be Told number 38 on the 17th of September, 2024. And we've got 2025. Oh my God. And we've got Silas Speaks is just blowing this Charlie Kirk thing out of the water. It's definitely, to me, listening to the show, I would say 100% a fake, guaranteed. Causing a lot of people to get upset though. And that's what they want you to do is be upset. So Silas Speaks, you keep talking. You're doing a really good job.
Well, it's basically it's to confound the audience, right? It's mimicry and mimicking tactics, and this is what Black Ops do, right? Covert yep. operations. They have to have these cover stories. Another one of and they have to ensure that there's enough delay. They can't. This is why they have to find the murder weapon rather quickly and find the suspect, because they can't let it linger for a long time. No. Because eventually sleuths like ourselves will begin, you know, looking at the evidence and, well, oh, this doesn't really add up and that doesn't really add up. So they need to bury it, right, as quickly as possible, but take the energetic or social engineering power from it, right, to utilize. But so you have
the whole thing's done. The whole thing's done at exactly the same time as there's a full moon in the sky. They know that this reacts with people, and they did it on one of the greatest dates ever, September the 10th, which is feeding into the 11th straight away. So you got your 9/11, which is the Coptic Christian Day of New Year's. So they picked the day perfectly. I'll just have to totally say that. Definitely they picked this time to do the Charlie Kirk thing, CK311, when they needed to do it. Yep.
And well, here's another thing. It happened. So we were talking about the plane. The plane was registered to Lehi, Utah. Lehi comes from, it literally means jawbone in Hebrew. It comes from the Samson mythology, where he used the jawbone of an ass or a donkey to 2 seconds.
And I'll just interrupt. Well, so the jawbone is in the Maori myths of Maui, big time, and ancient Egyptian.
Sorry about that.
That's all good. Keep talking. I'm saying that the jawbone is a major myth.
So the jawbone of a donkey or an ass, and you'll also find as well the donkey appears strangely, because the donkey is the symbol of the Democrats, not of course the Republicans. It appears it's a completely forced and emotionally vapid speech. Erica, his wife. We'll get into their names, by the way, because their names itself prove that this is all staged.
Yep.
But you have beside her, you have the cap 47 that also has links, by the way, to astronomical links to masonry, of course, links to the Old Testament as well, Leviticus 4:7. But we'll get into that later. And then right beside it, you have the donkey. Why a donkey? Why would they choose the donkey? I've just been to Vindolanda, and there's an interesting unknown god that they state, and he has the donkey beside him. Unknown.
Sounds like Shrek the movie, which has a donkey all over it too, as well.
Absolutely. Well, that's probably tying in with that. Yeah, it's if you know anything about Canaanite lore, and if you know anything about Egyptian lore, Egyptian mythology, you realize that the donkey itself is linked to the Hyksos, it's linked to Set, it's linked to, it's essentially the royal steed of the Amorites. And I get into that in Blood on the Sand, but just really quickly, the donkey, there was a certain breed of donkey which was used in Mesopotamia and, you know, the region of the Amorites and Canaan, what's now Syria, Lebanon, Israel. All of those places, and it was a specific type of donkey, which was a sort of it was a donkey that was used on in chariots, right? Yep. And it was finely bred. It was so finely bred, by the way, that it went extinct. But this was a symbol of nobility, and it was something that a lot of well, even you know, the Hittites and the Mycenaeans, they looked at it and they thought it was rather strange, right? Why would you use donkeys? Why would you not use horses as a sign of nobility? But this is, again, this has traveled down to the Jesus myth as well. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, which was the sign, it was the prophecy of the Messiah, right? It was the prophecy of the king, because, of course, Israel is essentially just a sort of, or the Hebrews are a branch of the Amorites. And I go into that with my blood on the sand. That's another reason, by the way, that you know all of this is completely faked. But so, for example, the plane, the Lehi, the Jawbone, the first Israeli terrorist organization before Israel was even a state, so this was in Mandatory Palestine, was called Lehi. And they have also a strange hand sign as well, which is the hand sign of Sabazios. And the hand sign of Sabazios goes back to Jupiter Sabazios, or Zeus Sabaoth, or in Cappadocia and Phrygia, Jove Sabazos, which of course links with Dionysus and Bacchus. But basically it's a it was an infiltration by the Kabbalists from Israel, Judea, to essentially create a syncretized version of Yahweh and to slowly change the beliefs of Greece, Rome, Cappadocia, basically to religiously infiltrate them, which is, of course, what we've reached the culmination point of that now. Oh, but the
sure.
Jupiter Sabazios is basically the Roman transliteration of Yahweh Zeviot, which is Yahweh, Lord of the Armies, or Lord of the Hosts, hosts being an antiquated term for armies. So, of course, it all ties into that. And one of the things that they would do is, they would become frenzied, the worshippers of Jupiter Sabazios, and they would, you know, circle a snake above their heads. Again, the Ouroboros, right? When you boil this down, it's about controlling time, like controlling the minds and the perceptions of people. That is ultimately what Kabbalah is about. And, so the Lehi, so that it links to that. The person that plane is also tied to, by the way, the plane is registered as a foreign entity. But the individual that plane is tied to is an individual called, what is his name? David Maxwell or Maxfield. Basically, he's a businessman in the area of Lehi, Utah, but he's actually, he's also donated to, the Chabad Lubavitcher organization in Utah. A sizable, donation, actually. And Chabad Lubavitcher are basically the Orthodox Jewish sect, which are staunchly Kabbalistic. I mean, of all the Jewish sects, they are the most staunchly Kabbalistic, meaning staunchly mystical. Yeah. They read the Zohar. They take the Zohar as gospel, essentially, along with the Talmud and, of course, the Tanakh. So, yeah, so he's involved in that. When you get down to the Israel and the Mossad have what's called the Sayanim, and the Sayanim are essentially they're about 10,000 strong, and they assist the Mossad in foreign operations. So they're basically Mossad agents, if you will, embedded in foreign lands. And they, of course, they facilitate these types of assassination or operations. Remember, Mossad has its own assassination department.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only intelligence agency that has its own assassination department. So we've got that.
And proudly, also their and I met a guy who I suspect was definitely Mossad. He has the Phoenix tattoo on his leg. And I remember asking him, I said, what does that mean? He goes, oh, it's just a group I was with years ago. Kind of blew it over. But he kind of knew that I picked up on this very prominent tattoo. And he was in the Israeli military. So the whole Phoenix is a big thing, you know, because they want to burn it down, start their new world order, which is
but burning it down. The Phoenix is everywhere, everywhere, as far as I'm concerned. I keep seeing that logo right now. Right now.
And remember as well, the third, Kirk lived in Phoenix, Arizona. So we have that as exactly. well.
Yep. There's and, a big there. Silas, guaranteed.
Last year as well, there was an ex-Mossad agent that openly admitted on 60 Minutes that, quote, we create a pretend world. We are a global production company. That. We write the screenplay. Oh, we are the directors. God. We are the producers. We are the main actors. The world yep. is our stage, unquote.
Yep. It fits in with the whole, the fact that you keep seeing, as far as I'm concerned, very suspicious, Shakespeare everywhere. It never goes away. There's always Shakespeare this, Shakespeare that. There's always a play going on. And his, you know, the whole Globe Theatre, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, so kind of moving forward but do you see that this global agenda has multiple bad guys that are all, you would say, you know, that they actually don't get on with each other, but they actually all support each other's agenda? And I'm talking about the British.
It's compartmentalized.
Yeah, right. Okay. Good. Yeah.
It's compartmental. I mean, the British and the Americans are just, they basically, the Americans and British are being utilized along with the rest of the Europeans. They were being utilized throughout the Age of Discovery to essentially tame and conquer, at least, yep. not necessarily militarily or even demographically. This is why, you know, a lot of the European empires during the whole Age of Discovery and Age of Imperial Conquest worldwide, they weren't actually European, they weren't empires of, say, Britain, France, or whatever, because when they quote-unquote colonized these areas, remember, colony from Latin is a verb to settle, so
yeah.
they weren't settling these areas with British, well, in some areas they did, with British, with French, but when they set up colonies, the vast majority of their colonies were, in fact, just commercial enterprises. And what were they designed to do? They were designed to indebt the rest of the world to basically the financier class. I mean, you read the Zohar. The Zohar yep. tells you who rules. And remember, this is why 36 constantly crops up. So his wife was age 36. Candace Owens is 36. Kash Patel also mentions that, you know, we found him in less than 36 hours, specifically 33. Why 36? 36 also crops up in the Truman Show. He lives at 36, right? So why? Yeah. Well, the 36 relates within the Zohar to what's called the Zadikim Nistarim, which is basically, it translates quite literally as the concealed righteous ones, and in each generation it states the there are 30.
I love that. The concealed righteous ones.
And in each generation, they support and steer the world, and they're 36 in number, they're said. Sorry, man.
No, keep going, man. It's good. But it just, as soon as you say that, it just, the concealed righteous ones, and even Kiss had an album called... what was it? It was a really strange album that came out of nowhere, and it was called I can't remember it, but it was like, basically, it sounded like the Illuminati or, you know, the Hidden Ones or whatever it was called. Mm-hmm. They put actually an album out that was about a hidden power that's out there that's controlling everything. Why can't I remember the name of it? That's the way it is. Anyway, keep talking, man.
So another thing that we can mention, so this David Maxwell or Maxfield, and I forgot to put this in my notes, this is just coming from my recollection. So he actually owns a philanthropic, it's a charity, I think, it's a 501c3 organization, and it's called Unique. But that is part of a larger operation. They have a subsidiary group. I think it's called Saperia, wow. Yeah. And I'll get into what that means, by the way. It's rather sick when you look at this. But it's basically a child abuse organization that seeks to help people, victims, right? Supposedly. However, rather strange that they pick saperia, because saperia is a compound of two Latin verbs, which, or Latin words, which literally means, if you put them together, it means to pre-taste or to have pre-tasted. So why would you have a child abuse organization that's called pre-tasted? Plus, he's linked with all of these rather peculiar individuals. I mean, let's be honest, the guy is probably a Sayanim, right? He's part of the 10,000, the AIDS Mossad. So you have all of this as well. It's rather peculiar. Again, it could be part of some sort of blackmail operation that we saw, for example, with Epstein. I mean, that was the national blackmail operation. But you also have state and county blackmail operations at strategic points. Of course, why would they pick Utah? Well, the reason they would pick Utah is because Utah is actually is one of the most highly militarized states. There's a lot. Yep. There's a great deal of military installations.
The Mormons are there, which is absolutely which is straight out full of which are Masonic type weird stuff. Well, I always say Masonic, but it's actually they're definitely part of a. There's some kind of the B is their logo in Utah. Utah has the B is a, and the perfect society is the B, which is Masonic.
Oh yeah,
guaranteed. Yep, 100%.
Yeah, the Hive. Yeah, that Rosa Melapibus. The bees take honey from the rose. So basically, when you really boil it down, what the symbolism of that is. And by the way, remember he was supposedly part of some social democrat organization, which has now come out to be false. But what is the symbol of socialism? It's the rose, typically, right?
Yep.
That's worldwide. It can be other things, hammer, sickle, that's usually communism, the fist, but it's often the rose. So you have this connection between the Hive, the rose, and of course, what is the Hive? Well, it's exactly what they want society to be.
Yep.
They want everyone not to just be... Exactly. They don't want us to just be selectively gregarious, as Aldous Huxley stated, right? They want us to be fully social animals where we literally, we are just drones for the queen or the monarch, right? This world monarch that they're planning to bring about. And I mean, if you're maybe for, by the way, this might sound absolutely out there, but you're about maybe 40. Well, if you go by the Zohar, you're probably about, and if we're going by the Masonic calendar system, you're maybe about 41 years before this king of the world announces himself. So, and then he will announce his kingdom as well. And if you don't follow along, well, you know what happens, right? So, like with all tyrannies.
What is the Masonic calendar system?
The Anolusis calendar, the year of light. The year zero is 4001 BC.
Hey, Mike Cargo, you haven't been invited on here, man. It's this isn't your show, dude.
I'm not trying to make it my show.
Well, that's all right. No, it's all right. Yeah, I don't mind.
Okay, no problem.
I'm a listener.
Okay, well, listen in, dude.
Yeah, the Anolusis, so it's the year of light. The year zero is 4001 BC. If you take an average with the Hebraic calendar system, which is the Anno Mundi, or the year of the world calendar system, which is 3761 BC.
Yep.
And you take the average, I think 3761 BC, and you take the average of the two, it's very close to the point where supposedly the... Remember, we're in a procession here. This is where the 47 comes into play. Supposedly, there's a 47 degree arc difference between Polaris and Vega, and this is the 25,920 year cycle between the two. So it's all this is the processional year. But
you're listening to the Solar Speaks and Rick.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too.
donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
And you're listening to the Be Told Show, episode number 38, on the 17th of September, 2025. We're going to finish up with Silas talking about whatever he wants to talk about for the next whenever.
And, Keep talking. I do apologize.
All good.
So if you take the two averages of those years, 4001 BC, which is the Masonic year zero, and the Hebraic Anno Mundi, which is 3761 BC, put the two together, and you get the average, and it's very close to Thuban, the year where Thuban became our North Star, from around about 3900 BC to 1750 BC. Now, why is that important? Well, Thuban is part of the Draco constellation. In fact, Thuban is also known as Alpha Draconis. So it's the dragon. But Thuban itself comes from the Arabic serpent.
How come this dragon thing that keeps popping up all the time, you keep seeing the same old dragon motif, whatever. Do you see that all the time, or is it just something you just...
The Zohar states that right at the end, when the tikkun is finished, they will all meet in the tabernacle, and they will cook and eat the skin of Leviathan. So basically, when you get really down to all of this, and this is why, by the way, you had 200, just, you know, off the bat of all of this, you had 250, well, firstly, you had 650 million that they've just sent to Israel and military aid. You have blocked the release of the Epstein files, and they've also as well, Marco Rubio and a few others are trying to push a bill to make. I think they've actually this bill's passed. It's just waiting ratification within the Senate, and of course the. It has to get signed off with the executive, the president, but it's to essentially to make illegal political boycotts of Israel. So eventually this is paving the way for what the Heritage Foundation knows as Project Esther. I won't go into that here, but that is the reason for the Charlie Kirk event. It's essentially to get the conservatives to completely to support, don't get me wrong, quite justifiably, but to support, problem, reaction, solution, again, to support the curtailment of free speech against those who oppose Israel. Because as soon as this happened, Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, the rest of them, they were creating AI videos to try and state that Charlie Kirk was pro-Israel. If you look at the last month, actually all the way back to, I think they had a major TPUSA event in Tampa Bay, Florida in May or June, I forget when, but He was, Charlie Kirk was getting a massive amount of death threats, and he was being called anti-Semitic because he allowed Tucker Carlson on, and Tucker Carlson was, of course, in his speech, he was the seminal speaker of the event, very critical of Israel. A lot of them were critical of Israel, the people that he invited on, he was being called anti-Semitic. It was at that point that probably the green light was given to
get rid of them.
But they don't even have to kill him, right? Remember, he's just, as we're going to go into with the characteronyms, he is just a writer, so they just write him out of the script. That's it. He's just an actor, so they just write him out of the script. That's it. Actors are the opposite of people, right? This is why when his wife got on live TV to, you know, again, it's to me, that doesn't sound like a grieving person, right? I've mourned a person that's died before. I'm sure we all have, especially someone that's close to you. You wouldn't have that much composure emotionally. No,
absolutely.
2 days after.
Not. No,
yeah.
Absolutely not.
And she's already getting fundraising going. She's right back to, I mean, her eyes weren't even red or puffy. Remember, she's literally just witnessed her husband die in front of her with her two children.
Exactly. Blood. Obviously.
Yeah.
You could look, honestly, that's where you've got to spot these psychological operations. When you see something like that, where you know that a real person would be just absolutely, they couldn't speak, you know, they'd be just so upset. And they wouldn't want a camera anywhere near their face. But that's the way it is. That's the way it is.
Well, absolutely. Well, here's one for you as well. So the reason the serpent is so important here is because basically what they see the serpent as is it's the age, it's the substance of time, right? They're controlling the substance of time through this dialectic. So basically, from nothing, they create everything. That's their idea. So they play God, effectively.
Yep.
And the idea is they want to become God. This is what's written in the Zohar. You read Gershom Scholem's work. He literally states, once we get rid of essentially the idea of the nation states, once we get rid and we unify everyone under this one yoke, this one banner, this Kabbalistic banner, then, of course, we will be unbound by the laws of God, right? Yep. We will be God ourselves. So this is what really they're working towards. This is why essentially Israel is going to go to war for Iran. You're going to have world wars across the world, because it's part of the eschatology. It's what unifies them, and it's what is going to permit them to, they hope, take over the entire world directly. Now, don't get me wrong, they already have global governance right now. But the problem is, it's not homeostatic. It isn't a system of autopoiesis, which means it is completely predictable and they can predict it ad infinitum, right? That it will not break. There's still a potential that the system may crumble, right? That potential can't be allowed to exist. No competition to them can be allowed to exist. It is a sin. Therefore, it has to be vanquished. It has to be, if you will, purified. This is their thinking. So we'll look into Erica and Charlie Kirk, right? So this is very interesting. If we look at Charlie Kirk, his name, sorry, I'm just going through the 85 pages of notes I have here. 86, sorry. Right, so he died in Orem, Utah. Yeah. Of course, if no one knows Yiddish, Orem is literally poor man in Yiddish, right? Oh, the poor man. So it's a bit of an insult, a troll, right? So we have that. But Charlie Kirk, etymologically, Charlie derives from the Proto-Germanic Carolaz, meaning free man or warrior. And Kirk, of course, is the Scots. It actually is from Norse, but it's the Scots in Gaelic for church. Good.
Church,
thus aggregating the two, so the free man or the warrior of the church. Now, this is very peculiar, right? So if you look at Erica, so her name is Erica France or Franceva. It's a very rare, that's a rare name. It's from Switzerland, by the way. It's a name.
Very rare name, I will say that.
Absolutely.
She's not Smith or Jones.
No. She's not Smith or Jones, no. Hold on, I'll just get the notes here. I can find the notes. Here we go. So, Erica Franceva. Now, by the way, she also has an interesting in-law called Lauren or Laurie Franceva. And she is part of a several tech companies, actually, that have worked with DARPA, the DOD... God, you name it, right? And there's a few other things as well. Exactly. And she is part of Saxon Capital, which I think they're, or she's an investor in it at least. And I think they're part of, several other things. I forget now, somewhere in the notes. But so interestingly, she owns 11% of the shares of Saxon Capital.
How many? 11%?
Yes. And here's the thing. The 33rd degree Freemason, I know because he actually puts it in his biography, he's the only Texan to be named architect of the temple. And also he, in 2016, he also earned the Order of the Knights Templar of the York Rite of Freemasonry as well. And he owns 15.69% of that. So there's the 15 again. The 6.9 obviously relates to cancer, the carcinos of the zodiacal sign. But yeah, Erica, now this will blow your mind. So we've heard Charlie Kirk. That, of course, means free man or warrior of the church. Etymologically, Erica derives from Norse and means sole ruler. But it is also related to a flowering heather plant, also known as Erica. Which also goes by the variant of the name's spelling, with the C instead of the K. Thus, it relates to a plant, which is what Erica was to, of course, Charlie. So Frantfa means free man, right? It's the same as, of course, Charlie, right? But it doesn't have the same connotation. Frantfa or Frank doesn't have the same connotation as Charlie or Careless or Careless. It doesn't have this army or militaristic connotation, right? No. So similar to the etymology of Charlie or Charles, though without the connotation of war or warrior. However, in the general theme amongst these scripts, we see that this is yet another characteronym, a name utilized by a playwright or author that describes the role of the character, and thus, Erica Frantzfe means sole ruler of the freeman of the kirk or the church, or plant of the freeman. So literally, she is the plant. It also, as well, she's an actress. She actually studied at a Catholic a preparatory school called Notre Dame Preparatory School, but on it's roughly about 20,000 a year to send your children there. And she was part of a big family.
We can all afford that. We can all afford that. Not, I had to say that, not $20,000 a year. No.
Of the Arizona private schools, it's actually part of, it ranks as in the 15 most expensive of Arizona and their private schools. So she comes from wealth, but in our last 2 years, right? Now, it's not under the Jesuits, but in our last 2 years, she played on the women's basketball team of Regis University in Denver, Colorado, which is, of course, Jesuit run. So she's Jesuit educated at least partially, right? Man.
Fantastic, dude. You have nailed it. I'm telling you that this is a 100% psychological operation, guaranteed, using all the old school, be it Jesuit numbers, be it astrological, be it astronomical, guaranteed. So you've done
Here's another thing as well. Have you seen the picture or the video of her obviously kissing his hand? It's very forced, of course, Buzz. Have you seen that at all? No, his hands look rubber, right? They have the texture of rubber. And believe you me, I've seen dead people before, right? In morgues and such. And their hands do not look like that. They look pale, but they don't look like rubber. They don't look orange like rubber. But anyway, she was wearing there's two rings she's wearing. One is G. Right, one has a G on it.
Seven.
So Saturn. And there's also another one that she has beside her, which either might have an O on it. I don't think it's an O. Actually, if you really look at it and blow it up, and I have a 240 hertz, 4K monitor, and it looks like a G to me as well. So you've got two Gs, the 77. In Kabbalah and their numerology, if you double or triple a number, you actually increase its, you elevate its power, exactly. Yep. But here's another one that people are missing, right? Charlie Kirk's supposed body, right where, of course, the hidden hand symbol of the Masons, you know, where they put their hand in their coat, their on their breast, right, in their coat, the hidden hand symbol. His button is actually on. I'd have to send you it, but his middle button on his suit is actually unbuttoned, exactly where you would slip that hidden hand in. So you've got that as well.
That's a bit weird. That's a bit weird, guaranteed.
Oh, exactly. There's a few other things as well we could mention. Through it all. Oh, yes. Here we go. Here we go. This is, again, this is Hebrew as well. So we have this very strange Erica Francfort, right? Which her name is spelled E-R-I-K-A. So it's a Scandinavian spelling, right? It's a Germanic spelling. However, she has a very strange middle name, Lane, right? But her father is of Swedish extraction and her mother is of Syrian Lebanese extraction. Or so I think. It could be, I don't know, it could be Israeli extraction, I don't know. But this is what I've found. So she has some connections to the Middle East and some, you know, but again, that doesn't really matter on the face of it. But interestingly, why does she have the middle name Lane, which would denote English extraction at least?
Yeah.
Well, Lane, again, doesn't make sense with the rest of her name, Erica Lane Francfort. But Lane, of course, is a narrow path, or in Scots, it can also be a loan in certain dialects of Scots. But in Hebrew, it may refer to Le'ana, right? Le'ana. And this correlates to a plant with bitter oil and is used metaphorically in the Old Testament to describe idolatry, a bitter adulteress, treachery, betrayal, or divine punishment. And we find in Isaiah 33:1, there's again, remember, he died at 31 years of age. The Illuminati card game, by the way, is 31 years old this year. And
okay, the tournament I'm going to suggest conspiracy. All these things you're bringing up, conspiracy. We'll keep going.
Oh, totally, yeah. Totally. And Turning Point USA began in 2012. That was the same year that this Erica Lane Francfort won the Miss Arizona. And, by the way, she's an actress. And it's interesting, for a Christian, right, for a devout Christian, she actually went to, I forget the university now, but she went to university to study political science and foreign relations. I mean, what Christian would study that? I mean, that is about as left wing as you can get, you know? I'm not even Christian. I couldn't stomach a semester of political science and foreign relations. Could you imagine the character of people you're going to meet there? Anyway, so I found that peculiar as well within her biography.
I'm going to suggest it's definitely very peculiar. 100% correct.
Well, absolutely. Well, here's the thing as well. So Turning Point USA began in 2012. So it's been going for 13 years. So of course, 31 and 13 are reflections of one another. You see this in Isaiah 33:1 as well. You see the 33 and the 1. So the 31, yes. The 13. This all has connections as well. 31, for example, the 31st degree is the first of the degrees working up to the 33rd. Essentially, it's the higher degrees where you're not taught in a regimented format, the mysteries, you actually have to have a certain intuitive understanding of them, an experiential knowledge of them, the esoteric, essentially, the experiential knowledge of these things. But anyway, Isaiah 33:1, the term which is close to Lana, is Nala, right? Which is, it actually means to obtain something, right? To acquire something, to attain it. But in Isaiah 33:1, in the biblical Hebrew of that verse, it actually means as soon as you cease. And, you know, not taken into the context of the entire verse, but just that specific term, that verb. So naturally, this is peculiar in relation to Kirk's passing, as Erica appears to be obtaining greater material wealth and attaining increased power and status as soon as her husband ceased to be. So you see the same thing found there in Isaiah 33:1. We can go in, by the way, let's go to South Park, right? Oh no, by the way, before we get to that, so we're talking about the Illuminati card game, came out in 1994.
One sec. You're listening to Be Told.
No matter what you say, You're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Do you're listening to Be Told 38. With Silas Speak coming out and blowing the Charlie Kirk shooting out of the water, Be Told, 100%. Silas, finish your last, what's the word for it? Your
point.
Thoughts. Your point, yeah.
So, well, here's another one. We can go into the Illuminati card game. Now,
yep. And why not?
I've literally have hundreds of these things I could mention, but I'll just try and finish it as quickly as possible, the main points. And so the Illuminati card game, the final YouTube short before Charlie Kirk was shot was called Enough is Enough. That is exactly the same card that we see Trump, it looks like yes. Trump, yep. Appear.
Using.
Enough is yep. Enough. And what does it say in the card? It says, if I can just find it really quickly. Oh God, our snipers can take you. Yeah, yeah. At any time, at any place, our snipers can drop you. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
So you've got that as well. So in South Park. Oh God, actually, I have to get to this. This is actually even more important than that.
South Park TV show.
Yeah, before I get to that, man, this is actually quite an important one. This shows that there's something to this all. So a day after, right? Now, again, this is very peculiar because this would take days to create. But they had the day after, so September the 11th, they had two advertisements, obviously, on the face of it, as a memorial. For that of Charlie Kirk. And one of them, they have Charlie Kirk, of course, hugging that of Donald Trump. And, you know, behind Charlie Kirk is the Israeli flag, and behind Donald Trump is the US flag. The idea is that Charlie Kirk was pro-Israel, which, of course, if people followed his work just prior, a month prior, he was beginning to really start to change. He was saying that the Epstein files were a Mossad blackmail operation against the US government. He was mentioning that they were genociding kids in Gaza and things like that. You know, it was an ethnic cleanser. I mean, no, that is not pro-Israel, right? If you're a Zionist, you have to be, I mean, it's like any political ideology. You have to be fanatically for every point. But anyway, it has the caption reads, "Great Charlie Kirk, rip," and then right under it has Shlomo Peril. Now, if you're not Israeli and if you don't speak Hebrew or if you don't know anything about Hebrew and Hebrew slang, this might come across as rather peculiar to you, right? Now, Shlomo Peril was an individual during the Nazi, you know, the 1930s Germany, the National Socialist Germany, where he was part of the Jewish people, and of course he faked his own death, and he pretended to be a Nazi. He changed his name. He pretended to be one of the Hitler Youth. Right, again, remember Charlie Kirk was part of the right wing youth movement to thus escape persecution, of course, right in those days. However, in Israeli slang. Right. Now, again, you'd have to be an Israeli to know this, or you'd have to at least have an understanding of Israeli colloquialisms. A high-level insult, it's Shlomo Peril is an Israeli slang term. It literally means that this is, if you were to translate it to English, though it's got, I mean, it really doesn't do it justice, but this is as close as you're going to get it.
Okay.
Shlomo Peril is a sort of slang term. It's an insult to describe a gullible patsy, easily deceived, or a scapegoat. Someone so naive that they fall for tricks and metaphorically disappear into their own lies. Again, like Shlomo Peril, he literally became a Nazi. He became one of the Hitler Youth. He became the German Aryan identity that he was pretending to be. But this the reason for that is Shlomo is a common name, of course. It's the Hebrew equivalent of what we would know as Solomon. Shlomo itself means one of great wealth or wisdom or you know, things like that. But the peril, the reason that peril literally is from the Hebrew, the same name, the same word rather, peril as we have in English. That itself has connotations esoterically, but in this context, it's because it sounds like similar to the Hebrew term of pashut ne'alam, which means simply vanished, right? So literally, Shlomo literally vanished into his lies. It's that idea. So they're literally saying that Charlie Kirk is a Shlomo peril. He is a gullible patsy. He's easily deceived. Yeah. He's a scapegoat, or perhaps he faked his own death, right? He's changed his name. So there's that connotation too. I mean, it's quite profound enough, when you look
enough,
at all of that.
Enough to say that it's very suspicious, or very suspicious.
Very. And, well, here's another one. We can go into Hebrew again. So we have the 47, the Leviticus 4:7 is a specific Old Testament. Oh, by the way, just before we get to that, in front of him, you had three lines of the 47 caps. 4 plus 7 is obviously 11. There's three lines of these 4 plus 7s, so you obviously have 33. There's that connection too. But freedom as well is also an ordinal value of the English. It's 33 as well. Leviticus 4:7, so here's the 47 again. Remember, the 47 is also the compass degree. The degrees of the compass within the sigil of Freemasonry. It's also the 47 arc degrees between Polaris and Vega, the processional year. So again, it's all linking to cycles and to time. But the Leviticus 4:7, the priest shall then put, this is from the Old Testament, the priest shall then put some of the blood of the on the horns of the altar of fragrant incense that is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. The rest of the bull's blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering at the entrance of the tent of the meeting. He died in a pentagon, right? Of course. The only way to, it doesn't actually create a pentacle. It actually creates a pentagram, right?
Wow.
With the point of the pentagon, that sort of irregular pentagon. Also, by the way, it's the equivalent of, if you were to put a line between the cross and the triangle of the pentagon, right, at the base of where he was speaking, it actually creates an orthographic or two-dimensional projection of an upside-down pyramid, right? Why is that important? Well, the reason being that's important is because it's in the same shape as the base plate of baseball. And baseball has a thing called a pitcher. Now, why is the pitcher important? Because the pitcher in Kabbalistic a tradition or rites or ritualism is known as the kad, the K-A-D or the kud. So the effectively what that is, it's the chalice of divine light, right? It's the link to the Shekinah, the Nukvah. It's also linked to that of the sort of indwelling presence of the Lord, right? Bringing it down to God.
Anything to do with baseball, it brings straight out. What's Madame Blavatsky's gang? 100% all...
Oh, the Theosophists, yeah.
It's Theosophists. So the Theosophists involved, guaranteed, and which I'll guarantee they will be, in this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Absolutely. And remember,
Sorry,
jump in, man.
I've got about 2 minutes left and I'll be going off to La La Land.
It's quite late where you are, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of. But anyway, it's been fantastic to have Solis Speaks doing his incredible breakdown on this very important show. So, 2 minutes, Solis, whatever you want to say, 2 minutes.
Just to finish that off. So again, the tent of the meeting where he was, there's four points to it. There was blood everywhere. Again, it's almost like a sacrifice. Everything. We also have as well behind him, UVU, but the UVU, if you flip that upside down, it actually creates Hebrew letters, which is Mem, Vav, Tav, which is Mavet. Mavet is death in Hebrew. So again, and then right beside the death in Hebrew, you have a place for you. So, this is all linking to the idea that it's a narrative, it's a stage performance, you know. So,
I think, look, after what I've listened to tonight, I'm definitely, I've lost my interest into this show as being a real thing. I think it's 100% high level, high level esoteric psychological operation, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Oh, yeah. Anyway, Silas, I'm going to go. But
man,
fantastic to have you be on here. And if you want to share it wherever you want to go to share your stuff. But I've got stuff to do tomorrow, sadly, which that's the way it is. The way it is. But really, a pleasure to hear your voice. And it's always prescient. Always prescient. So fantastic, dude. And I'll
speak to
you next week. Yeah, no worries, man.
Pleasure.
I'll speak next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.